Good evening. Wonder if you would turn in your Bibles this evening, first of all, to Luke's Gospel, Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. The book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6. I read the verses in both Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel because it sets for us that when the Lord Jesus returns, that it's setting the characteristic of what the world is going to be like. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, the very one who went to Calvary's cross and died upon that cross and was buried, and then on the third day he rose again. We know this blessed one, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has promised to return. And he has promised to bring us to himself. All that have put their faith and trust in him shall be saved. We shall be caught up, the Bible says, with him in the air. And we shall be forever with the Lord. And what a wonderful hope that we have as those that have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in his finished work upon the Calvary's cross. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. I was talking to someone not too long ago, and they said to me, well, I don't believe in a God that could send anyone to hell. And I said, well, I think you've been misinformed. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, my God doesn't send anyone to hell. Well, isn't it true that if we don't accept Jesus, we go to hell? I said, yes. But who it is that's making that decision? It's you. You're making the decision. And if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's your destination. Why? Because the Bible says in John chapter 3, the Bible says that we are all condemned already. We're all condemned because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so everyone in this room who has never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we're condemned already. But here, listen to this. And I shared with this person, I said, listen, what you haven't been told is the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel 33, the Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God doesn't want to send anyone to hell. We're condemned and we're going there anyway. But what God has done, dear friends, tonight, and this is the good news, what God has done is God has provided a way of escape. God has provided a way for each of us that we might not go to hell and perish in a Christless eternity and to be forever separated from a holy and a righteous God, to be separated from all the blessings that come with such a loving God? No, God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But what I want is I want all men. I'm long-suffering. I'm not willing that any should perish. But I desire that all men come to repentance. That's the heart of God. And that's what's being offered to you tonight. And we're going to look tonight at a story where God, we know this story very well. The story of Noah. But what I wanted to share with you before we open that, you know, this past week we were at Mountain View Bible Camp. And I see some of the kids. Hi, kids. I see some of the kids that were here. And they were there. And they heard Brother Brian. Brother Brian spoke on Noah. And he spoke on the ark. And ever since he spoke on it, I've been thinking about it. Because I tell you, when Brother Chris up here was leading the singing, I was reminded of the fact that what a day. Now, Brother Chris didn't know what I was going to speak on, but he spoke on peace. He spoke on unrest. He spoke on the fact that there are so much turbulence going on in this world. He mentioned the terrorist attacks, and it seems as every time we turn around, there's another terrorist attack, and we don't know where it's going to be next. We don't know what's going on. We don't know where it's going to happen. And now it's happening right here in the United States in places. It's happened just this past week while I was at camp. Somebody told me that there was an attack in Germany. There was an attack in France. And in every place we turn, it seems as if there's violence all over this world that we live in today. But not only is there violence, there's moral corruption. There's moral decay all around us. And we're going to see it was the same in Noah's day as well. When I said goodbye to Brother Jesse Baptiste after camp, you know, we hugged goodbye and we said, we'll see you within the year and see you sometime. And Jesse got in his vehicle and I got in my vehicle and came here. And Jesse got in his vehicle and he headed back for New York. And then all of a sudden he heard this noise in the vehicle. This click, 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 click. He didn't know what it was. He pulled over and looked at the vehicle and everything seemed okay. He got back in the vehicle and drove on the highway again. And he was going down the road and he hears the noise again. He pulls over and looks again and investigates and couldn't find it. So he gets back in the vehicle and drives again. And this time he hears the noise and it even sounds worse. So he pulls over. Now, I forgot to mention he has his wife and his four children in the car. And he pulled into a gas station. He asked the mechanic, something's wrong with my car, but I don't know what. And the mechanic looked in the engine. Nothing wrong with the engine. Everything seems fine. But then the mechanic said this. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. And he looked down in the wheel. There was one lug nut holding the tire on. One lug nut holding that tire on. And the man says, you are a miracle. And I said, I know what came next, Jesse. And he says, that's right. And he shared the Lord with this man. But what the man said is, he said, look, I want to show you something. He says, you see what happened? You see how this is bent? Somebody was trying to steal your tires. Well, he says, I've been at a Bible camp all week. You can't trust those children, I'm telling you. He said, no. It must have happened before, when I was still in New York. He drove all the way to camp and all the way back to New Jersey. And the Lord preserved him. The Lord preserved him. Now, why do I share that story? Listen, we don't know what's around the corner. I said goodbye to Jesse, like I've said for years to him, because we worked together all the time every summer. And I said goodbye. He got in his vehicle thinking he was going to be home in just a few hours. You know, he didn't get home till after 10 o'clock last night. But what if the tire would have come off? The car would have collapsed. Going 70 miles an hour down the highway. What if tonight? What if this is your last opportunity in the gospel meeting? We don't know. What if the Lord Jesus returns right now? And you're left here. I'm gone. Someone else would have to finish this message. Because I will be in glory. Where will you be? As it was in the days of Noah. People just think, oh, well, we'll just keep on living and we'll keep on doing what we do one day after another. But we're not promised tomorrow. And young people, you say, well, you know what? I'm gonna turn my life to the Lord and I'm gonna surrender. Yeah, I'm gonna get on it. But right now, I'm gonna do this. But I plan to. The Bible says today. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says now is the accepted time. And so as we think about this story of Noah, we look at it tonight. I want to challenge each of us. What is the Spirit of God saying to us tonight? Look in Genesis chapter 6. It says in verse 5, starting with verse 5, it says that the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth. And it says that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord says, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. This was God's conclusion. The Bible says, because of one man's disobedience, sin entered the world. The Bible says, because of Adam's disobedience, sin entered the world, and death is spread to all mankind. And we see it being revealed in the heart of mankind in Noah's day. It says that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. The Bible says that God looked upon the very ones that he had created, and it said it repented of that he had made man. He saw the wickedness of mankind. But remember, I told you that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That God so loved the world. And so God, in Noah's day, God says, I'm going to look for a man. Is there any man on planet Earth that I can use? And God, the Bible says, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found unmerited favor, undeserved favor in God's eyes. It's not that Noah did anything. It's that God said, I see Noah and I'm going to show grace upon him. But the Bible does say in another place that Noah was a righteous man and Noah preached righteousness. And God says, I will take this man, Noah. And by the way, it's the first time in Scripture where the word grace is found. Noah finds grace, unmerited favor, in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. A God who is so holy that he cannot look upon sin, the Bible says. And Noah found grace in his eyes. The Bible says in verse 3, I just want to back up to verse 3. It says that the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man forever. My spirit is not always going to strive. with men. There is coming a day when there will be a reckoning. There is coming a day when there will be judgment. And in Noah's day, that day had come. My spirit will not always strive with man. And God said to Noah, because of the wickedness of mankind, the Bible says that if you look down on the verses there, it says that God saw that the heart of man was corrupt. That word corrupt means decayed. It means waste. It means ruin. God looked at the condition of mankind, and he says it's decaying. And we look at our society today. Young people, we look at our society today where everything goes, anything goes, everything goes. It doesn't matter. Don't judge me. You're judging me. And everything goes. But what does God say? God looks at the condition of mankind and God says it's corrupt. It's decaying. While I was at camp, my neighbor called me and he says, Tim, I got bad news and I got good news. I said, well, give me the bad news first. He said, the bad news is your fence fell down. He says it was rotted out. It was decayed. And it could no longer stand strong. And it broke off. I said, well, tell me the good news. The good news is the whole fence didn't fall down. Only a piece of it. My wife got home last night from taking kids home. She looked and she called me and she said, yep, the fence fell. She said, damn, it was all rotted out at the bottom. God looks at your heart. God looks at my heart. And God says that our hearts are rotted with sin. That it's corrupt. It's decaying. There's no way that it can stand strong. Because there's decay there. And it's rotting. And that's why the Bible says that each one of us without Christ are dead in our trespasses and sins. We've got no power to save ourselves. And in Noah's day, God sees the corruption on the earth. And God says, it's corrupt. It's decay. It's waste. I can't use this to my glory. And God says, what I'm going to do is not only is there corruption, but there's violence. There's violence. And all we have to do is turn on the TV or open the internet or open our newspapers. And we see violence every day. But not only the violence that's going on. You know, we're so desensitized. Young people, we're so desensitized by all the violence. We've got the violent video games. I know you're saying don't meddle, Tim, but you know what? We've got all the violent video games. We've got the violent movies. We've got the violent this and the violent that. Everywhere we turn. You know, the fake wrestling wasn't enough. Now what they've done is now they have the cage fighting. Because it wasn't enough to pretend to beat each other up. Now we have to really beat each other up. And you have the UFC. You young people know what I'm talking about, the older brothers and sisters probably don't understand what the UFC is. But it's fighting in the ring, just like in the gladiator days. It's violent. We live in a violent, violent society today. But there's moral corruption all around us. The very moral fiber of the United States, of Canada, of other countries. The very moral fiber is corrupted because the heart of man is wicked. God sees it. And God says to each one of us tonight, how long is my spirit going to strive with you? How long am I going to strive with you? How long is it going to take? What is it going to take in your life for me to get your attention? So God had Noah build the ark. Just a couple of things when we think about this ark that I want to point out. that no matter how corrupt the world was, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. And so God says, listen, I take no pleasure in the depth of the wicked, so I'm going to be long-suffering. And no, I want you to build this ark, and every nail that you drive in, and every board that you place. What I want you to do, Noah, is you building that ark's going to be a testimony to my love, to my grace, to my patience, to my long suffering. And Noah builds this ark, we're told. Interesting thing about the ark. And I want to think about the security of this ark. When we think about the ark, the Bible says it was made out of gopher wood. And what that means is something like cedar wood. It's very strong and it's very durable. It's wood that will not rot. Wood that will not corrupt. Wood that will not warp in water. It speaks of the incorruptibility. It reminds us of the fact that God said, I want to provide a way of escape. And the only way I can do that is if I build a vessel out of this incorruptible wood. And God says to each one of us, I don't want to send anyone to hell. I don't want you to be condemned on your way to hell. I'm going to provide a way of escape. And I'm going to do that because the vessel I'm going to use is going to be incorruptible. And that vessel, dear friends, tonight, you need to know that the vessel that God has used for your salvation and my salvation is the blessed Lord Jesus, the one who knew no sin. He was incorruptible, the one who did no sin, the one in whom there was no sin. God says, that's my vessel for salvation. And tonight, will you look at the Lord Jesus? We've sang, thou alone, Lord Jesus. Will you look at him tonight? Will you realize tonight that he is the vessel for your salvation? You don't have to stay in your sins. You don't have to stay affected by a corruptible world. There's a way of escape for you tonight. What will you do with the blessed Lord Jesus tonight? Listen, it's decision time. You've waited long enough, young person. You've played that game long enough. It's time to make a decision for Christ tonight. He says, it was made out of gopher wood. But not only that, on the inside and the outside, they take this pitch. Now, some people have described this pitch like tar, but it really isn't tar. The word itself is not the word for tar. This word, it's an interesting word. And what this word means is it's the same word that we get our word atonement from. Very interesting. It means covering. And why is that so special? Because the Lord Jesus is that atonement. God said long ago, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. The blessed Lord Jesus' blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for my sin and for your sin, that blood washes us as white as snow. That blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he shed upon Calvary's cross. Listen, they hung him on the cross. They hung him between a holy and a righteous God and sinful men that were at the foot of the cross looking on. And they hung the Lord Jesus there. And it wasn't his physical sufferings that saved us. No. The Bible says in those 3 hours of darkness, God shut man out. The Bible says that all of God's judgment towards sin came upon the Lord Jesus. But I want to tell you this. It says that the soldier came and thrusted his spear in the side of the Lord Jesus, and out came blood and water. Why blood and why water? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The blood of the Lord Jesus is that which God says, I will cover, I will not only cover, but I will remove your sin. The blood of the Lord Jesus is that atonement for sin. Not just the covering it up, but a removal of it. And so this pitch in the ark reminds us, it reminds us of the covering that God says, I'm going to totally provide a way of escape. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to make this out of gopher wood that's durable, it's incorruptible, and I'm going to put pitch on it as a covering. See, the Lord Jesus shed his blood so that you and I could have a way of escape from our sins. So that you and I, the sin question, could be settled in the eyes of a holy God. So that the guilt that looms over us because of our sin could be removed. And there's a covering through the finished work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. What a wonderful thing. And then it says, not only this, but look down. Verses 14. He says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood and make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And I want to just touch this because I didn't mention this before. We talked about the pitch and we talked about the gopher wood. But it says you're to make many rooms in the ark. Now, I know that Ken Ham down in Cincinnati or on the other side of Cincinnati, I know that they're building this ark. In fact, it's finished, I think. And it's supposed to be up to the specs and everything according to the Word of God. I haven't seen it yet. But here's an interesting thing about that ark. In the Bible, the ark was rejected. Do you know what happened? Ken Ham wanted to build it in Ohio. I know there's some people from Ohio, so I don't want to give offense. He wanted to build it in Ohio, but you know what happened? It was rejected by Ohio. They rejected the ark. And they said, we don't want that here. We don't want your program here. So he went across the river and built the ark. Now, I have no idea what that's like. But men and women today are still rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to be one that rejects him? Are you going to be one that receives him? In that ark, there were many rooms. And the Lord Jesus said this, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, many abodes. And what we learn about that is that there is room enough for all who would come in. But unfortunately, the Bible says only 8 souls came in. But there's room. And I want to say tonight, there's room for you. The Bible says in verse 15, it says here about this ark, and this is how you shall make it, the length, and it goes on and describes the length, and I'm not going to go into that, but just to say that it was sufficient enough. And then they were to bring the animals in. And it says that Noah did all according to all that God commanded him. And then when we think about this ark and we go into it a little bit and we look at it, we're reminded that the ark was provided by God. God provided this ark. God has provided a way of salvation for you tonight. This was God taking the initiative. God has reached out to you in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know what's in your life right now. I don't know what it is that you're struggling with. But in an audience this size, I guarantee you there are those that are struggling with things in this room right now. In an audience this size, there are those of you here, you know you're not right with the Lord. In an audience this size, there are things going on in your life right now. And I don't know who you are. But God knows who you are. And an audience this size, you know if you're right with God. And he says, I want to provide you salvation. I want to provide a way. I want to provide you rest. I want to give you that rest and that peace. You don't have to be afraid of the violence, the corruption. I will give you all that you need if you come to me. I will give you a peace that passes all understanding. You will be able to say, having been justified, I have peace with God. What a wonderful thing to know that the sin question is settled and you have peace with God. He says, not only did God provide this ark, it says that God brought everyone in to the ark. He invited everyone in. And as we have said tonight, God has provided and God is inviting you this evening. There's a verse in John chapter 6 I want to turn to. In John chapter 6. I believe it's verse 37. It says this, all that my Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, now listen to this, the one who comes to me, I will in no means cast out. What this is telling us is if you come to the Lord Jesus tonight, he will not cast you out. Listen, their invitation was to all, to everybody in Noah's day. Noah was inviting them all. And they laughed at him to scorn. And I know the world laughs at us as we seek to live for God. But Noah continued to build that ark. And when it was finished, God called them in. And all who came were in. But look at this. Look at chapter 7. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. It says this. Then Jehovah said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. I'll just stop there. Notice this. It says, then Jehovah said to Noah. Now, I need to share this with you. That word Jehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That word Lord, when it's capitalized, it's almost always speaking of Jehovah. Jehovah is the name of God as a covenant-keeping God of relationship. Now, this is important. I want you to see something. This is very important. God desires to have a relationship with you. That's fabulous. Everybody in this room should have said amen. God desires to have a relationship with you. And you know what God has done? And when we think about this word Jehovah, we go back to the book of Genesis. And we see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Elohim. God. God is the creator God, the all-powerful creator God, Elohim. But then, you read on, it's Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. And when man is brought into the picture, it's no longer Elohim, it's Jehovah Elohim. When God has created man, it becomes Jehovah Elohim. Now listen to this, catch this, this is important. And so God has this relationship with man as Jehovah Elohim. And Jehovah Elohim would come in the cool of the day to have fellowship with man because he's a God of relationship. But what happened? Adam and Eve sinned. But listen, Satan came in the form of a serpent. And when Satan came, what did Satan say to Eve? Satan says, has God said? Has God said? Satan didn't say, has Jehovah said? Satan didn't say, has this God of relationship said? Satan says, has God, Elohim, creator? See, here's the thing. While on the one hand, Satan has sold us a bill of goods with evolution, but on the other hand, Satan says, if you want to be religious, I'll let you be religious. If you want to just believe in God, that he's there, he's a creator, and he's far off, I'll let you have that. But don't believe that God wants a relationship with you. Don't believe that God wants a relationship with you. So when Satan spoke to Eve, Satan didn't say, has Jehovah said, God of relationship, has he said this? No. Satan says to her, has God said? And you might be here tonight, and you might be very religious. And you might think your works are going to get you to heaven. But what does the Bible say? It's not by works of righteousness that we have done. The Bible says all of our works are as filthy rags. So it's not about being religious. Let me ask you a question. Tonight, if you're here and you've never personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, if all he is to you is religion, Satan is saying to you, has God said? Don't worry about that God stuff. But we're saying to you tonight, God wants a relationship with you. And God has provided that relationship. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. You cannot have a relationship with God, the Father, without going through God, the Son. So tonight, Jehovah says, verse 1 of chapter 7, that Jehovah said to Noah, this God of relationship invited Noah into the ark. Now I want you to see something else in that verse. It does not say that the Lord said, go into the ark. It doesn't say that. It says the Lord was in the ark and said to him, come. Come. And friend, tonight, the Lord is saying to you, come. There's judgment coming. And the reason this world is getting worse and worse and worse is because we're getting closer and closer and closer to the end of the world. But the Lord says to you tonight, this God of relationship says to you tonight, come. Come into the ark. Come into the place of safety. You come tonight. Come with all your baggage. Your baggage is okay with me. You come with your baggage. Don't try to clean your life up first. I've never seen anybody getting ready to take a shower and take a bath first and then take a shower. You don't try to clean up first. You get in and you get the dirt and the grime off of you. Some of you tonight, you got dirt and grime in your life. Young people, you're struggling with something, and you've got dirt and grime in your life. Listen, the Lord is saying to you tonight, come. Come. Come into the ark. Just come to me. And maybe you accepted Christ when you were younger, but you've strayed away, and the Lord, the invitation is there for you. Just come. Come back to me. Oh, I'll take you. You confess your sin. And I'll be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, whatever it is in your life, whatever it is that you're struggling with tonight. Dear friend, tonight, listen, tonight can be a life-changing experience for you. I remember leading one boy to the Lord one time. Young man, not a boy. He was a teenager. I remember leading him to the Lord. And when he accepted Christ as his Savior, he came back, and he was so excited. And he was telling everybody at our workplace. He was telling everybody about the Lord Jesus. And I was his boss and I was the manager. And I had to say, listen, you got to tone it down. You can't do that at work. But his life was changed. And it was changed that moment. He surrendered his heart to the Lordship of Christ. He said, Lord, I've made a mess of my life. I keep struggling with this internet thing. I keep struggling with this, and I just want to surrender it. Listen, tonight, you can lay it all right at the cross. Burdens were lifted at Calvary. Tonight can be a changing moment, a changing experience for you tonight. But you've got to come. The Lord is in the ark, and the Lord is inviting Noah and his family to come. And Noah came. Listen to this. Then the Bible says, later on in chapter 7, that God shut the door. It doesn't say Noah shut it. It says God shut it. What that tells me, and what that tells you, is that there's coming a day when the opportunity to come in the ark will be closed. There's coming a day. And those people that I know who've not accepted Christ as their Savior, if they don't come into the ark, if they don't accept Christ as their Savior, they're going to a Christless eternity. Not because God takes pleasure in the death of the wicked, no. Not because God hasn't offered them eternal life, because he has. Where will you spend eternity? Tonight, will you come into the ark? Will you be saved tonight? Will you come in and be safe? Safe in Christ? Oh, what a wonderful thing. To know that you have that salvation. It says that Noah went into the ark and God opened up the deep. The rains came. And I've pictured this. And I got to tell you something else about the ark. The Bible says there was one door. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is that door. He is the door. He is the only way that we can come in to the place of safety. But the Bible also says that there was one window, and the window was up on top. And I've often thought about this, that the window was up so that they looked up and they were occupied with the Lord. They didn't see the destruction going on outside. Can you imagine what that must have been like? But in God's mercy, he had them put the window up on the top so they could look up. And when I look up by faith, I see the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that we see him, the very one who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. But how do we see him now? We see him crowned with glory and honor because death couldn't hold him. And he came triumphantly out of the grave. He arose on that third day. And he has ascended up on high. And so tonight I look up and behold, I see the man in the glory. I see the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, who do you see? Do you see the Lord Jesus in your life? Or have you pushed him to the side? There was one window in that ark. One window for them to look up. But imagine this. Those people who rejected the Lord Jesus, those people that rejected Noah's invitation, are just like people today who reject the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine what it must have been? Could you imagine that Noah's been preaching for all these years? 100 and something years. Noah has been preaching close to 120 years. Noah's been preaching and he's out there and he's preaching by every time he would cut a board or every time he would place something in the ark. It's a testimony. And they're making fun of him. But then one day, Noah says it's going to rain. Well, we don't even know what rain is. The Bible said it hadn't even rained yet on the earth. And so Noah says it's going to rain. And Noah says the deep's going to open up. And then all of a sudden, can you imagine? Today, I was out on my way here. And all of a sudden, I felt a little something on my face. And I was walking with a brother, and I looked at him to see if he, you know, spit on my face. But he didn't. He was looking the other way. But I said, that's a raindrop. Well, we know what rain is. That's a raindrop. But in Noah's day, can you imagine, all of a sudden, the first raindrop. What is this? And then the rain came harder. And today, the thunder came in here. Not in here, but over us. And the thunder was here. And somebody that I was sitting next to said, that is powerful. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? In fact, somebody said it's going to raise the roof off. Can you imagine what it was in the days of Noah? But people said, oh, it's going to die. There's no such thing as judgment. There's no urgency. There's no hurry. Just take your time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says you need to make a decision tonight, because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. What will you do? The Bible says that judgment came, the floods came, the Bible says that everyone that was outside the ark, can you imagine that scene? It just burdens my heart to even think about it. Can you imagine that scene? People beating on the ark, wanting in, and they're pounding. Let us in. But what does the Bible say? The Bible said God shut the door. And it was too late. Oh, dear friend, tonight, please don't make it too late. Come tonight. We beseech you, be reconciled to God tonight. Why not tonight? Just come. Years ago, I was at Wilderness Trails Bible Camp. Freddie Carlson was there, and Corrine Carlson, who is now his wife. She wasn't at the time. But we're sitting by the foot of the lake, by St. Mary's Glacier in Colorado, right by the camp. And all of a sudden, there were skiers, and they would ski down the glacier. And all of a sudden, we see a guy, and he skis off the glacier. And we see him. And we saw him before he went off, and we said, he's going to fall off. He's too close. And we yelled to him. And from where we were, Freddie was yelling. And I was yelling. And we were yelling, telling him, look out, you're too close. And he kept skiing. And he skied right off the glacier, right to the bottom next to the lake, where there were rocks at the bottom. And we rushed over. And as we got there, Freddie started sharing the gospel with him. And right there, the air vac helicopter came and came swooping down on the lake and picked him up. And Freddie and Corrine, they jump in with him and they take him to the hospital. And on the way, Freddie shares the gospel with him. And he accepted Christ just before he passed away. But what about you tonight? This is your opportunity right now. We're going to close with our last hymn. I invite you to look at the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 7, 6 through 9. There's much more there with Noah. I invite you to look at that later. But what about you this evening? What about your life tonight? What about your salvation? The Bible says that your soul is so precious to God that He's not willing that you perish. Tonight is a decision-making night for you. And we invite you just to come. Just to come right now where you're at. If you're a young person tonight that you've walked away from the Lord and you know that you're not right with the Lord, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'm going to ask you in Jesus' name, if you desire to be right with God tonight, something's going on in your life. You don't have to tell me what it is. You don't have to tell anybody. All you need to do is confess it to the Lord. I'm going to ask you to just come down. You can come down while we're singing. You can just come down forward. Sit on the front row. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, maybe you're a boy or a girl, and you've never, a little boy, a little girl, and you've never asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, we invite you, just come forward. Come down tonight. I'll be standing right over here waiting. Others will be waiting. Listen, you've been prayed for tonight. Tonight's the night that you come into the ark. Tonight's the night that you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight. Tonight is a decision-making night for you. Just come. Just come. Blessed Lord Jesus, tonight we thank you that you are that ark. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the way of salvation for each and every one of us. And you've promised not to cast out any of us. All that come to you, you have promised that you would receive. And we would just ask, blessed Lord, tonight, if there's some boy or girl, some young person, some older one, whose life is not right, who's feeling the burden of their sin, oh Lord, we cry out to you. Speak to their hearts that they might know what it is to find rest in the loving arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just commit this meeting to you. We look to you to continue this work in each and every heart here tonight. And we ask it as we give you thanks in your precious name, Lord Jesus.